Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Here he is, the steady hand at the wheel. I knew we weren't going to go 16-0, Santana, so we can do away with that, but whoa. Last night, not pretty.
Yeah, we stunk it up late Sunday night. On the last game of the day, we figured out a way to stink it up for the whole NFL.
There's just still a chasm between the Falcons and the Green Bay Packers as far as competitiveness, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to say you're correct. I don't know if it starts a little. It's probably a little bit of a few things. Starting the game slow would be definitely one game plan. I'm not sure exactly what the game plan looks like going against a team that was in the NFL or in the Super Bowl last year or represented the NFC in the Super Bowl. And, you know, just not having two offensive tackles, the starting two offensive tackles. You've got Mike Daniels that doesn't last two series and Jordy that goes out on the third series. If you're going to go into a game like that, I mean, your great players have got to play big. And for them to, you know, five, six guys to stand on the sideline in a game like that, it's just, yeah, you're not going to fare well.
Well, your great players have to play big, and your not-so-great players at least have to play in an average way. How would you say the replacements fared?
You know, not well. You know, at the same time, that is a hard environment to go into Atlanta. I want to say a dome stadium. I'm so used to saying Atlanta's a dome, but it's got a little hole at the top. So
a little oculus. Call it an oculus.
Look at the words on Brian. Hey, oculus. I like that.
What is it again?
Call it an oculus. It's a hole in the top. Well, it's a retractable dome anyway.
Good word.
So
that's a good word.
Not really an oculus, but.
But it's a hole in the roof. Is as far as we know.
I like the fact of just being able to say Oculus.
There you go. Almost sounds like a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
It does.
Whatever the fact may be, you know, not only, you know, they're young tackles, replacement tackles, as you called them, and they're, you know, the environment is a rough environment because if Atlanta has anything, they have excellent pass rushers. So, once you get in a game like that and you're down three scores and your defensive ends can just pin their ears back because there's no real run threat at that time, that's a rough place for any offensive lineman to be, particularly, you know, two young offensive tackles.
Well, 23 is the number the Packers have overcome in the past.
Mm-hmm.
24, never.
23, oh, you mean the biggest deficit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've overcome?
A couple of 23s, zero 24s.
All right.
Did you see anything that the offensive tackles were, could you see times they were specifically getting beat? You know, you being an interior lineman, could you see what they were doing wrong or?
No, you know, I don't think it was so much them doing wrong. I think they were determined and diligent in everything they were doing. You know, there were some mishaps. You got to give some credit to Seattle. They ran some line
Atlanta. Twists,
and they also ran some blitz, you know, some blitzes that focused on that position in particular, the offensive tackle position, that we didn't rebound from. Montgomery, one of the sacks, saw that he was trying to chip the defensive lineman as he was coming around just trying to assist in blocking, and he wafted and the guy got completely around and sacked Aaron. So, you know, I don't want to just put it on offensive tackles. It was a cumulative job. They all just kind of stunk it up together.
Well, I mean, third and one at the goal, and then a movement penalty. Someone jumped. So now it wasn't third and one. It was first and goal at the one.
And you moved the first and goal to six.
Back to first and then six, and then a big sack, and then Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were going all over. Who was 81? What's his name, the receiver?
81? I don't have a roster.
Starts with an A.
Geronimo Allison.
Yeah, Geronimo.
Okay.
Geronimo was wrong shoulder. They expect to be a back shoulder throw, and it wasn't this. It's communication, and it's just we don't have all the kinks worked out of the offense yet or something like that. So
yeah,
just,
you know, and also, you know, you had this call, I think this ghost pick play. Honest, you know, that was called two or three times, and that's a little bit much. And, you know, and that's the way the NFL goes against a particularly good team. You know, if you don't call that first pick play, then it's really about to be a three-point game.
And boy, did Chris Collinsworth not have any balls on that call. He goes, I don't know. That looked like he didn't just say they missed the call. He would not just throw the refs under the bus because he said they have 1 yard. So they highlighted 1 yard. Martellus Bennett was inside that 1 yard, and then Collinsworth goes, I don't know. You know, I know that he was within the 1 yard. Chris, you said it
exactly. Unless something's changed in the rule book, because I'm not in every referee meeting anymore. As long as that offensive player does not, he's working inside the cylinder of his body, and he does not use his hands to block, it's not considered a pick play.
As long as
he's not using his hands to block or grab. So the fact that they did that twice, and particularly in the first half, is a little bit questionable to me.
Yeah, and I don't know that that lost the game for the Packers or whatever, but, man,
there's a million things that lost the game.
Mike McCarthy was not going to let that one go. Now, I don't know if he was doing that for future reference, like, hey, you guys are wrong. I can't remember the last time I saw a coach get a flag.
Yeah, he had to be irate.
I've seen Pete Carroll stand nearly in the middle of the field screaming at officials and not get a flag, and Mike McCarthy got one last night.
Yeah, and Mike is typically the most subtle guy on the sideline. So maybe he was trying to send the word.
But at the end of the day, it's a loss, and you move on to next week. And if you see the Falcons again, it'll be 15 weeks from now at the earliest. And it could be completely different teams by then, right?
Yeah. I don't think they like or we like the outcome the last two times we played the Falcons. And, you know, it's becoming one of those NFC rivalries, a lot like Seattle has been the last 4 or 5 years. You know, but that's the quality of the NFL. You know, right now, you know, Atlanta has a little bit of something we want. You know, we're not used to seeing that down there in Georgia, but we're going to have to figure that out as the end of the year comes. And Aaron's right. It's one game, and hopefully if you have to do it again, you can do it in Lambeau. But you better be prepared that you may have to go back down there and win a game in the playoffs and just focus on what it's going to take.
I'll say this. It's not just the Packers that Julio Jones has big games against. Every week that guy is a machine.
Yes, and I mean, you're dealing – it's a tough animal you're dealing with. He's 220 pounds and runs a 4.3, you know, and I think last night they were talking about single coverage and double coverage. And as a defender, you're going to play a little bit of everything. You know, sometimes the guy's going to be out there by himself and have to make a tackle. Sometimes you're going to be able to give him some help. Sometimes you're going to have to focus on Matt Ryan and making sure – he doesn't have the ability to find Julio Jones down the field, you know, with blitzes and putting a speed rush on him. So, you know, when you're dealing with an offense like that, that's a high-powered offense, it's a little bit of everything it's going to take to stop them.
Are our defensive backs better this year than they were last year?
Yes, I definitely
think. Two games?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. I feel as though.
Will they get better in the next 14 weeks?
They will have to.
I'm serious.
Injuries could make them worse.
Right, but I'm saying, but if everybody stays healthy, they'll get better, smarter, whatever, over the next 14 weeks. Good enough to stop Atlanta if we see them again in January?
Yeah, I think they'll be good enough. I think they'll be good enough. And I think, you know, the key to your point is injuries. You know, my biggest concern coming out of that game is injuries, just, you know, players, when and how, what you can do about them, or are these players, you know, I don't know. You know, all these players. The thing that I always grew up with playing football was, I know you can do it when you're well and healthy, but can you do it when you're hurting and you're tired? You know, So there's always going to be a finger or an ankle or a twisted knee or a quad or a calf, but can you still get out there and help your team? So we got to figure some of those things out down the stretch.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that there's injuries and then there's real injuries. You know, are you really hurt?
It's always a
question. Like a game like Atlanta, you know, the locker room I was in, guys would be chomping at the bit to get back down to Atlanta and play that game.
Yeah.
So the fact that you had so many guys on the sideline just is a concern to me.
Down to Atlanta. Let's get them up to Green Bay in January and play them.
Yeah, we got to do that. Yeah.
All right, Santana, we'll talk about it. Cincinnati coming up this week. We'll cover that next Monday.
All right, fellas. Y'all have a great week.
Wait, all right. How's the water level?
Well, you know, I actually had a whole bunch of events up here in Wisconsin, so I'm up here with you guys right now.
Oh, are
and
you
everybody
here?
Everybody was looking for you. Everybody
you,
was looking
you
for
you. Came back? Where were you?
They think we're a trio.
Well, we were hanging out with you a week ago.
All right.
At Saloon on Calhoun with Bacon.
Exactly. So this last time I had to do a wine event in Cedarsburg, and I had to do a great event over in Clinton.
You were at the wine.
And they're asking for us up there?
You were at Winefest?
They're asking for you guys up there. So y'all going to have to do a state tour or something.
Ryan, you need to go to Winefest. That is a target-rich environment.
Wine
for
Fest?
A single guy, yeah.
No, yeah, right.
So.
Oh, you're target-rich? Is that what we're calling that?
I didn't know you were a wine guy, Santana. Maybe you're not.
Hey, if there's alcohol in it, I'm drinking it.
All right.
All right, Santana. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Y'all be good.
Santana Dotson.